Because of the past 2 weeks and the messages of the past 2 weeks, some of you may be asking the question, does the pastor really have an interest in how people feel? Or does he think that feelings are unimportant? After all, I have said that you ought not to let your feelings get in the way of obeying the Word of God. And we used the example of being reconciled to one another, and that sometimes our feelings do get in the way of being obedient to the Word of God in this regard. And then last week I set before you the fact that we ought not to mistake human feelings or impressions or emotional impressions for the voice of God. Sometimes this is very dangerous. And I use the example of the great George Whitefield, who had the impression that a son of his was to be a great preacher, and he later buried that youngster. Obviously, that deep impression he had was not the voice of God. Well, our feelings are important, since I have, in a sense, run them down to some extent. Are they important? Yes, they are. They are very important. Make no mistake about it. But we do need, do we not, to get our feelings in order. And I believe that Jesus helps us in this regard. In the Gospel of John, chapter 13 and verse 17, he says, "If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Jesus is referring here in this particular text to a kind of knowledge which is obtained through observation. When you do an experiment in the chemistry lab and you observe what takes place, or when you do an experiment in physics, and I'm sure some of you have done that sort of thing in high school or college, when you perform an experiment and you observe what takes place, you obtain a kind of knowledge. That's the kind of thing that Jesus is talking about here. It's football season. And after a football game, the coach usually gathers the team, whether it's the high school team or the college team, in the locker room, and he shows the film. And I remember watching some of those films, and it wasn't altogether pleasant to watch those films, because there it was on the screen, the very mistakes that I made which cost points on the scoreboard. And of course, you saw what should be done, and there was the evidence, observable, very observable. And then the coach would go to the chalkboard and place on the board the assignments that should have been carried out. And so we knew from observation what should take place. This is the kind of knowledge that Jesus is referring to here. And Jesus has a particular set of facts in mind. The disciples had just witnessed Christ washing their feet, doing the work of a servant. Only servants washed the feet of others in that day. A few days ago, I was in the backyard with the lawnmower. And because it's so dry, when I turned on the lawnmower, and you fellows that work on the farm know this better than I do, there was just a choke of dirt. And was I glad when that job was done. And of course, when it's over, and the washing comes up, it's a mess, isn't it? Well, this is exactly how it was in the days of Jesus after a long journey, and they came in sweaty and grimy, and they sat down, and the servant took their sandals off and washed their feet. In this situation, there was no servant, and Jesus took off his outer garments, put a towel around himself, filled a basin with water, and began to wash the disciples' feet. And they observed what he was doing. I ran a little experiment the other day in a chapel service at the Christian school. It was kind of interesting. When it came time for me to speak, I took off my shirt. When I sat down in a chair and took my shoes and socks off, and of course everybody was, what is this guy doing? And I rolled up my pant legs, and I asked one of the teachers to come down, and I took off his shoes, and I rolled up his pant legs, and I washed his feet. And while I was washing his feet, this fellow happened to be the Bible teacher, and I said to him, "You know, the Bible says that the feet of those who bring good tidings are blessed. Is that true?" And this young fellow says, "I sure hope it is." And then I asked the young people there, "Do any of you want to come down and wash his feet?" And there wasn't one volunteer. Not one. But out of that little demonstration, it was very interesting because I think this Bible teacher who was in class going through the life of Peter, this fellow understood Peter's perspective a little bit better. And everyone understood the words of Jesus a little bit better. In fact, one of the teachers came down and turned me around a little bit and said, "We can't see what's going on," and rearranged what was happening. But by observing what was taking place, a lesson was being learned. And this is what Jesus is talking about here. You too, you see, each of you have observed through the reading of the Scriptures here the lesson which Jesus has for you. And many times, is it not true that you have heard this description of Jesus washing the feet of the disciples? And you too have read the Scriptures. You know the lesson. You fit the category, in other words, of what Jesus is speaking about in John 13:17. If you know these things, Jesus says, and you do know them, you do know. And what does Jesus say? If you know these things, you are blessed. Jesus goes on to speak about being blessed. And really, I think one of the things that Jesus is getting at here is being happy. Being happy. To be blessed here is to be in a spiritual state in which you are right with God. I'd like you to turn to the book of Revelation, to a couple of texts. First of all, in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 9, where this very same word is used. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 9. "And he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed are those who find themselves in the company of believers, the church of Jesus Christ, who is the bride of Christ. Blessed are those who find themselves in that company when Christ comes a second time in glory and are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." You've got to be right with the Lord to be in that company. There's no question about it. Blessed are you. And then look at chapter 14 in the book of Revelation, verse 13. John says, verse 13 in chapter 14, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord." Oh, blessed are those who die in the Lord. Those who die outside of the Lord are not blessed. Those who die in Christ, with faith in Christ, are those who are blessed. Because they have a relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ. How do we enter into this blessing? Well, we sang from Psalm 32 a little bit ago. Look at it again. Psalm 32, for again, this very same word is used. Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. How blessed is the person who is forgiven. It's as simple as that. And by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to purchase the salvation of others, by faith in Jesus Christ, you receive forgiveness. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, whose sins are covered. Are your sins covered this morning? Have you been forgiven of God through Jesus Christ? You know the blessing then. And there's an emotional side to this. A deep, running current of peace that comes upon the soul who is blessed of God. In an interesting way, the Apostle Paul translates this very same word in the 14th chapter of Romans. In the 14th chapter of Romans, the word is translated in the New American Standard Version as happy. Listen to this. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. Happy is the one who has a clear conscience, in other words, that when you do something and you know it's right, and the flood of guilt does not come upon you, you're happy. That's what Paul is saying. Happy is the one who does not condemn himself in what he approves. The King James Version translates the word in the same way, although the NIV again says blessed. But the emphasis, I think, is clear. I remember in the Army going on long, long hikes with a heavy pack. And you'd march for 12 or 15 hours. And at the end of that time, boy, you felt good. It was just good. You were happy to unload that pack and get it off your back, and the strain of the muscles and everything and the ache. It was just good to get that thing off. And I'm reminded of Christian in Pilgrim's Progress who had that pack on his back, that pack of sin which he struggled with. And when he came to the cross at Mount Zion, he didn't take off the pack. The pack came off. It was lifted from him. And he was happy. He was happy when that burden of sin was lifted from him. And that's the kind of thing that Jesus is talking about in John chapter 13 and verse 17. In this gospel, we might translate the text this way. If you know these things, you're happy. You're happy if you do them. It's a wonderful thing just to be happy. When we talk about this, we come to the place of putting our feelings in proper perspective. How often people are simply unhappy. I think it's a teenage problem, for one thing. And parents and teenagers alike know this is true. And I remember as a teenager in the house when there was a party going on, and I wasn't happy. I just wasn't happy. And my father took me into the bathroom and shook me. Why aren't you happy, Denny? What's wrong with you? Why aren't you happy? I don't know, Dad. I'm just not happy. It's true, isn't it? Went to the store the other day and the clerk behind the counter was grumbling. I don't know why I'm not happy. But it's the fact of the matter. It's not only a teenage problem, it's an adult problem. People not happy. And it's too bad because when this occurs, we have our priorities all backwards. If we're not happy, we are reluctant to carry out our responsibilities and assignments. We think happiness ought to come first so that we can carry out our assignments. But that's not what Jesus says. In fact, Jesus says just the opposite. Look at what he says in verse 17. He says, if you know these things, you are happy if you do them. That's what he says. Happiness comes, you see, as a result of carrying out your assignments. Do you get that? Happiness comes, young people, happiness comes as a result of carrying out your assignments. Don't wait to get happy when Dad asks you to do something so that you can do what he asks you to do. That's backwards. Happiness comes in the doing. Now let me make something clear here. I'm not just talking about busy work. And Jesus is not just talking about busy work. You know, sometimes we occupy our time very carefully. And that time is occupied in a very careful and calculated way in order that we might avoid our responsibilities. I call that busy work. Individuals, I think a lot of men are prone to this especially. They fill up their time at the office in such a fashion that their responsibilities as husbands and fathers are avoided. Or at least those responsibilities are not carried out the way they should be. Folks, we need to realize that that work is going to be there tomorrow and the next day. It will be. Whatever your work or whatever your responsibilities might be, it's going to be there tomorrow. But I want to tell you something. That husband or that wife or that parent or that daughter or that son may not be there tomorrow. And there's more than one person who has lamented at the grave, "Oh, if I had done right." We're not talking about busy work here. We're talking about responsibilities placed upon us by the Scriptures. Happiness, you see, comes when you carry out the assignments God has given you in the Scriptures. I used to really enjoy it. When, as a youngster playing football, I learned the assignments that I had to carry out on the football field. And when I played center and I had certain blocking assignments, there were particular plays that I really liked because I could really get after the defense effectively. And when I carried out those assignments, there was a sense of satisfaction present. And you know what I'm talking about. Joy and happiness comes in carrying out your assignments. You see, that's how it works. The happiness doesn't come first. The feelings follow. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking about. And the very specific assignments that Jesus is talking about here have to do with being a servant. Look at verse 17 again in John 13. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Friends in Christ, this morning, God's assignment for you and God's assignment for me is very simple. Be a servant. You know this is true. Isn't that right? You know it's true. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, do it. Do it. That's what he's saying. If you know these things, you are happy if you do them. And we know what's right in regards to all of this. And so the obligation is present to do it. And being a servant, I'm not standing up here and trying to tell you that being a servant is easy. It's not. Being a servant is, first of all, I think, an attitude which we have. Let me give you the example of George Whitefield again. The report was given that George Whitefield had preached to over 20,000 people. And when he came to Philadelphia to preach in the 1740s, Benjamin Franklin went out to hear him preach. And he did not believe that this man could ever preach to 20,000 people in an open field. Listen to what Benjamin Franklin says about all this. He says concerning George Whitefield, "He had a loud and clear voice and articulated his words and sentences so perfectly that he might be heard and understood at a great distance, especially as his audiences, however numerous, observed the most exact silence. He preached one evening from the top of the courthouse steps, which are in the middle of Market Street, on the west side of Second Street, which crosses it at right angles. Both streets were filled with his hearers to a considerable distance. Being among the hindmost in Market Street, I had the curiosity to learn how far he could be heard. By retiring backwards down the street towards the river, I found his voice distinct till I came near Front Street, when some noise in that street occurred. Imagining that a semicircle, of which my distance should be the radius, and that it were filled with auditors, to each of whom I allowed 2 square feet, I computed that he might well be heard by more than 30,000 people. This reconciled me to the newspaper accounts of his having preached to 25,000 people in the fields. Now, I've been in that place in Philadelphia, and it is hard to believe that this man preached openly and in public to 30,000 people. Now, what does this have to do with being a servant? I'll tell you what it has to do with being a servant. After preaching to thousands, this man would go back to a humble room and he would cry before God. Oh God, I'm an unprofitable servant. Make me worthy to preach the gospel. And he would cry before the Lord. That's what being a servant is all about, folks. It's an attitude of humility before God, which brings us to His feet on our knees. You know, that's the attitude we need. That's the attitude we need in our work in the church. I know a fella, a young man who's been recently married, and his sole view of the church is this: what can the church do to meet my needs? And I'll tell you what, he's gone from church to church and he's not happy in church. He's not happy. Because The perspective is backwards. The question we should be asking is simply this: what can I do to serve? What does Jesus say? If you know these things, you are happy. If you do them, you're safe. And so being a servant involves actions. Doing the work of God. No matter what circumstance you find yourself in. And we're not talking about heavy duty stuff. We're talking about things like opening the door for others, carrying packages for others, cleaning up the lunch table for others. Happiness comes in the doing, Jesus says. This is not heavy duty stuff. Most mothers find a joy in doing for their children. Isn't that right? And I know a mother quite well whom I have suggested that she go out to the store and buy a dress or a skirt or a blouse for herself. And inevitably she comes back, and what has she done? She has bought something for the children. That's the way it is. And there's a joy in serving like this. You see, that's the place of our feelings and of happiness, as Jesus puts it. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Let me tell you quickly another story. It's told by Charles Colson in this book, Kingdoms in Conflict. I'll not read it, I'll tell it to you, because I think I can get through it a little bit more rapidly that way. It's a story about a little lady called Gladys Blackstone. And Gladys was a retired school teacher. And the description of her is that she stood 1 inch under 5 feet. A little old lady. I don't know how much she weighed, probably under 100 pounds. And on Christmas Eve one year in Northern Ireland, she desired to serve the Lord. And that Christmas Eve, she went to one of the prisons in Belfast. And there she was encouraged to talk to a young man who, since he was 12 years old, had been involved in terrorism because his own father had been killed, murdered. And she went into the prison cell and sat at a little desk opposite the cot on which this young man was sitting. It was Christmas Eve, and the young man thought she was going to read the Christmas story, but she didn't. She turned to the 23rd chapter of the book of Luke and began reading the story of the crucifixion. And when she came to the place where one of the thieves calls to Jesus and says, "Lord, remember me when you come in to glory," she turned to this young man and she said, "Do you know who this Jesus is, why they're calling him Lord? This Jesus who was spat upon and they put a crown of thorns upon?" And she said, "You need to trust this Jesus as Lord." And she left the cell. Didn't press this young man. Later on that night, convicted by the power of God, this young man knelt by the bunk and confessed Jesus as his Lord in this prison. And on Christmas morning, he went out to breakfast with a smile on his face because he was happy. And he was confronted by other prisoners. "Why are you so happy?" "I'm a Christian," he said. And of course, he reaped abuse. But he was happy. And here this elderly lady who had shared the gospel with him I'm sure when she discovered that this young man had come to Christ, how did she feel? She was happy. She was happy. She wanted to be a servant of Jesus. And so she was happy in the doing of it. Do you catch it, folks? In the doing of it. That's the lesson before us. Are your feelings and emotions in place this morning? Are they? They need to be. And they will be if you follow the directions of Jesus. If you know these things, Jesus said, you are happy if you do them. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your grace. Bless your word to our hearts, that we might truly be your servants. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.